Well, morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Nick, and I'm one of the ministers here at Bourne Baptist Church. And I was thinking this morning before we came online, I thought to myself, I think I might do something a bit different this morning. And I might, as they sometimes do when they're doing when a band are doing a gig, they say, all right at the back. And I thought, I might do that. I say, all right at the back. And I wondered if you, being in your homes, would say, yeah, we're all right. God is good. So let's try that. Let's say, I'm going to say, all right at the back. And wherever you are, wherever you're watching from, I want you to say, yeah, I'm all right because I'm with Jesus. Are you all right in the back? I'm assuming you've said, yes, I'm all right and I'm with Jesus. It's great. And this morning we're going to be continuing our series of 1 Peter. And I thought last week, as Paul shared and spoke on the author of this letter, it was really encouraging because it really made me remember, actually, it's about understanding who the writer is helps us understand what he's writing. And so it's great to have this then following on from what Paul spoke last week. And this morning we're looking at on the study material, it says we are chosen. We are chosen. And actually, what I've done in my preparation and my title, my working title for the sermon, is this: is life all about rejection? Is life all about rejection? Now, when I was younger, which wasn't that long ago, really, but when I was younger and I was in school, I often had the experience of being left in the line when it came to choosing teams. You know those scenarios when you're saying, right, we're going to have a game of football. Could you all stand in the line and we're going to get two captains and then you get chosen? Well, me and a few other people, every year I was in, we stand there and then you get two of the better people would get chosen to be captains and they'd go along and go, I'll have so-and-so, I'll have so-and-so. Well, me, being a bit of a not very sporty when I was at school, they would say, oh, okay, we'll have Nick. And then there may be one or two others after me. But, it wasn't like I was the first pick. I wasn't going to be the top echelon. I was going to be down here somewhere. But that was my experience. And actually, in those times, I did have an experience and I did have a sense of being rejected. For some of us, in seeing that we're looking and talking about being chosen, potentially will cause us to, in fact, be thinking the opposite, to actually be thinking about, well, actually, I've been ignored. I've been rejected. I've been denied opportunities. I've been looked over when I've been looking at a job and it's gone to someone else. So even though chosen is a really positive and a dynamic thing, a number of us will be considering, well, actually, that's not me. I'm always rejected. And this morning, I hope, as we look at this passage, we would all have that confidence to know that we are chosen. I know that feelings of rejection are actually often self-instigated. Even when it comes to considering being chosen by God, times of doubt arise. You see, when pressure mounts and the world's questionings get tougher, we ask ourselves, I can't answer that question. I don't know why I believe this. I don't know why I believe that. And then what happens is we then start to think, well, am I really chosen? If I can't answer these questions, surely that means, I'm not going to be chosen. God's going to reject me. These sort of thoughts begin to sprout in our minds. Now, what might be even more alarming to hear is that for some of those who were or and are always the chosen, that in some ways being chosen increases the pressure that you put on yourself. For there is the need and the questioning as to whether they are living up to the reasons that they were chosen for. So just because you're chosen sometimes actually can increase pressure too. So I'm hopefully going to speak to both sides today. So as we continue our series, We Are, from 1 Peter, and with today's focus being chosen this morning, I have titled, as I've said, Is life all about rejection? As we spend time together, I hope we will see that even though rejection is part of life, being chosen affects all of life, both now and for eternity. So in times full of rejection, wondering whether what you believe is true, wrestling with whether it's worth it, and thinking you never thought it would be this hard, imagine having the following put through your letterbox or receiving it in your inbox on your email, or maybe receiving it as a posting on your Facebook or a Twitter. 1 Peter 1:1-2. From Peter, an apostle for Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Imagine receiving that. What an opening to a letter. Now, we get letters all the time. This, I've just picked this up from the office. It's an interesting letter. I'm assuming it's probably a bill because it's printed, or it'd be an invoice, something like that. But often, on letters that we get, you'll sort of write down who it's to. So here it's written to, well, actually, this has got Jill Arnold on it. And it's Bourne Baptist Church, West Street, Bourne. It's got our postcode PE109NE. Now, that's how we write letters now. We put who it's written to, then we put the content in, and then we say who it's from at the very end. Now, here, in these times when Peter was writing, it was not done like that at all. For those receiving the letter in this day, it would have been a real inspiration. And as we move through the weeks and pick up other parts of the letter, we will see that it's a letter that encourages both the church of that time and, I believe, the church today. And what it encourages us to be is to be hopeful. Now, following on from last week, today we begin looking at this letter. Peter begins with traditional format, as I'm sort of saying. He would say that first, for them, common writing would be first make it clear who's sending the letter. Then it's who is he identifying, who's the letter written to, and finally he greets them in terms that hold depths of meaning and Christian truth. So verse 1 begins by saying that this letter is from Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Peter offers us his credentials. What I know about what I am about to tell you comes from my own experience, knowledge, and understanding of Jesus. Now, it's a bit like sometimes when the police come up, you see it on the TV programs, when they say, especially when Sharon, we watch NCIS, they always flash their card and say, yeah, this is it, this is who I am. And I work for NCIS, and there we are, a government thing. So this is what Peter's saying, I am this, this is who I am, and I'm serving Jesus Christ. I don't know if you've done this sort of thing before, but some people count handshakes. And what I mean by counting handshakes is that obviously they're going round and think, right, they find out that somebody has shaken hands with, I don't know, say Prince William. And they work out that if they shake that person's hand, then they are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe 7 handshakes away from Prince William. Or maybe they've done it and they're only 3 handshakes away from Ed Sheeran. So in saying this, it's saying that the lower the number, the more credible it is. Perhaps you might be able to trace back handshakes to someone famous. Obviously, we can't currently do that because we're not meant to be shaking hands or being, you know, especially people who are not in our own family, in our own residence, we need to be at least 2 meters away and not having any physical contact. But you may think, actually, I know, I shook so-and-so's hand and they said that they had been 2 away or that they'd shaken so-and-so's hand. So like I've shaken Paul Davies' hand and then somebody else has shaken my hand, so they are 2 handshakes away from Paul. That's a real amazing thing, isn't it, to know that you only need two handshakes. If you shake mine, you only need two handshakes from shaking Paul. So that's this idea of being credible. It's knowing where it's come from. And Peter's saying, this is where it's from. For Peter, what he was putting down in the letter, and in fact, in every, in the very opening of his letter, is the real credibility. It's saying, this is who I am, and this is real. He then uses a title. He says, the elect, the elect. This title found here was one that once related to the Jews, as they were regarded as God's holy people. He had chosen them to be set apart. However, they had been chosen to reveal God to those around them. However, all the privileges which had once belonged to Israel now belonged to the Christian church. So the elect means chosen. And when Paul said, and when Peter's saying, I'm writing to you, the elect, he's saying, I'm writing to you who are chosen. Another word is found in the opening verse, which was very much exclusively used for the people of Israel. And the word translated scattered is this diaspora. And that was a technical term for Jews who lived outside of Palestine. In the reading here, commentators suggest that it isn't just relating to the Jewish Christians. It is also including Gentile Christians in the provinces listed. And for us, those provinces are covered by our Turkey at this present time. Simply, Peter is writing to a church that is dispersed and experiencing feelings of isolation. And I imagine they were experiencing feelings of rejection because they didn't fit in. They were different. Now, I say this because as a community of believers, they are strangers in the world. They are considered to be strange in the eyes of the world. 1 Peter 4, verse 4. For as we know, Christians have standards and lifestyles that seem contrary to the world. This in turn provides for both witness and warfare. And I bet in these times, as we do dwell in being separate, that we were finding isolation hard. That we are feeling, actually, I feel a bit of a stranger. So in considering why is life all about rejection, these opening words put down by Peter reveal that it isn't the case. It isn't the case. Peter tells the early church that God hasn't rejected them. He is doing the complete opposite. And in these times, we too need to recognize that God doesn't reject us. He is doing the complete opposite. He chooses us. It's just like ourselves. My wife and myself and Esther, recently, we brought a puppy into the family. And I haven't got the actual puppy with me, but I've got this, a knitted version of Fern. And it stays in the office to remind me that we have a puppy at home. And she is interesting. She is getting to know us and we're getting to know her. And actually, it's really good fun. But, we chose Fern. We went along to the breeder. We saw the mum and the dad. We saw the fact that there were 10 puppies. So there were 10 puppies we could choose from. And we chose Fern. Because we thought, that's the puppy that we want. She didn't do anything. It was our choice. I suppose the only thing she did was to sit and look cuddly. And actually, I'm sorry, but all 10 did that. All 10 sat and looked cuddly because they're puppies. But we chose Fern. She was called Mrs. White at the time because they had all different collars. And so the girls were obviously Mrs. and the boys were Mr. And then we just went for Mrs. White. We had to make the choice. It was nothing. Fern couldn't do anything. Peter also writes to encourage and remind the people of this time that they are valuable. And in Jesus, they share a common bond, one that unites those that feel scattered. Now, That's the same sentiment that is true today, isn't it? In Jesus, we share a common bond. Do you know that? You share a common bond with me. You share a common bond with those people in your life group. Just because you're not physically meeting them, you share a common bond. So we can take encouragement from that. That we're not isolated, we're not rejected. We are united. We have a common bond. And then if you move into verse 2 of this reading, we have three great facts of the Christian life. Three great facts of the Christian life. The fact that we are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God. Now, this simply means that it's nothing that we have done or will do. Christians, followers of the way, whatever you want to call us, the church, it's that the church originally came into being according to the purpose and plan of God. It's not just a human invention, and if we are true to him, then it can never fail. It won't fail if we're true to him. But it's nothing that we can do, because it's all come from God. God is the one who has chosen. It's his foreknowledge. And then we are chosen to be consecrated by the Spirit. Simply put, the Holy Spirit is essential to our living. The presence of the Spirit strengthens and makes us holy. He gives us assurance that our sins are forgiven and that Jesus Christ is Lord. Do you know that? Do you know that? Do you have that assurance? I hope that in hearing those words, you can have that assurance. You think, oh, the Holy Spirit is in you. He restores you. He gives us that assurance that our sins are forgiven, because they are. If we come to God and seek him, ask his forgiveness, our sins are forgiven. And then lastly, the third fact is that we are chosen for obedience and for sprinkling by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, by the shedding of Jesus' blood, as of the Old Testament, the people of God were drawn into a covenant by the sprinkling of blood. And if you want to find that, Exodus 24:8. So this new people of God are also brought into a covenant by the sprinkling of God, of Jesus' blood on the cross. And then it also talks about for obedience. Now, that's an interesting, because some say, that's a bit of a rule, isn't it, to be obedient? I've got to be obedient to this. I've got to be obedient. Well, the obedience is that we want to be following the path already trod by Jesus, one that involves suffering. It's not a, here we are, here's your list of things that you've got to do. You need to be obedient and do this, 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 and this. And if you do this, this, and this, I will be, you know, you will be chosen. He's just saying you've got to be obedient in following Jesus. Follow his way. Now, as I'm sure we all know, that isn't always easy. It's sometimes very tough and can sometimes therefore lead us into have these ideas that we are feeling rejected even by God. And you know who's that coming from? That's a seed being sown by the devil. So what I want to encourage you to do in those moments is to pray that you would pray on the armor of God, Ephesians 6, the helmet of salvation. Protect your mind. The breastplate of righteousness. Protect your heart. Because actually, you are chosen. We are all chosen. God doesn't want and doesn't reject. He seeks to accept and bring people to him. He then finishes, after these three statements, he then finishes Peter with a blessing. Now, as a warm and generous pastor, Peter shares a blessing with his readers. He wants them to know all the kindness and goodness of God. All the kindness and goodness of God. He wants them to know that. And the fullness of reconciliation. Reconciliation with God. With all the personal and social significance that has and is going on, he does not just seek this in a measured way, but in abundance. He doesn't say, well, I pray you get a little bit. He says, I abundantly get this, abundantly be blessed with the goodness and kindness of God. So this morning, perhaps you've sought value by trying to live as others live, or you strive to achieve what others have achieved. We're all good at comparing ourselves with others. If only I'm like so-and-so, if only I'm like Nick, I can tell you now, you don't want to be like me. You don't want to be like me. You want to be like God wants you to be. Okay? Be like God calls you to be. Because that's what God wants, and that's the best. He's chosen you to be you, not to be me, not to be Paul. So please, seek that. In these things and others, we hope that we'll be chosen, not rejected. Perhaps you have had years of people telling you that you are of no value. The words here offer you a tool to tear down these words and beliefs that you have built your life on. Though this may be true with man, and no matter who we are, we all have the urge to be accepted by our peers. We all want to be loved. Now, what these verses tell us is that ultimately, the one we should be seeking validation from is the author and perfecter of faith. He is the author and perfecter of life. You are chosen not because of what you have done or the work you have done or the work you've been doing. You are chosen for no other reason other than the love of God. Now, God knows the situations we are in, for in this letter, God directed Peter to send words of hope and encouragement to people who were suffering and not sure of their own value. You are to be encouraged by the fact that we are chosen, and we are chosen for a purpose. We just need to approach God with regard to what that might be for you and for me as individuals. So why not this week? Seek God. Seek God and ask him, what is the purpose? What's your purpose for me, Lord? And wait on him to tell you. Often it's things that you enjoy doing. So many people say, well, God's going to choose me to do this, and I don't really like doing that. Now, God uses the gifts and talents that you have. So listen out to where he's directing you. By being chosen, you are given the offer to be adopted into God's family. Now, I know that David Hughes has said that for him, knowing that he was chosen was a privilege. From his own personal story that he shared before, he said that, you know, it's a privilege to be chosen. Now, I recall a story that he may have even said. One of a family had two children, and in an argument, one said to the other, you aren't really part of our family. And in response, the other child said, well, I was chosen by mum and dad. They had no option with you. And that's in the light that one of them had been adopted and one of them wasn't. Being chosen is significant. God's chosen you. He's not just been lumbered with you. He's chosen you. Be encouraged. Now, if we are able to live in the understanding that we have the privilege of being chosen to be part of God's family, what a difference it will make to our daily living. The spring it would put in our step. Now, as we consider these few verses today, we need to seek to live out our purpose for God. And in doing this, we will impact many. For God always chooses for service, but it's not to serve alone, but to serve alongside others. And more importantly, to serve alongside him, not apart from him. So in these times of directed isolation, restricted movement, let's remember that life isn't all about rejection. We are chosen. And more importantly, we are chosen for no other reason than we just are. If we seek to live this loud, then we may help those around us see what it truly is to be a Christian, a child of God. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you have chosen us. And as we've seen, there is no requisite for that choice. You love us because you love us. We just have to accept that and choose to follow you. Be obedient to your way of life. Lord, there is no condemnation. There is no rejection. Help us to remember that you chose us for a purpose. Help us find that purpose. Bless us now, I pray, in your name. Amen.